learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Am Loewes. This is Shir number 59. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of Torah Shiurim, Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. Help us sponsor Shiurim in memory of your beloved ones. Become a sponsor online for a complete sefer starting from $36 and up. Your name and the name of your beloved one will be printed online as the sponsor of the sefer. See list of sponsorships still available online. Your loved ones will have the merit of people learning Torah online. We are holding in chapter 106, Pasuk 22. I'm going to repeat the Pasuk. Niflo'os be'eretz Chom, noro'os ha'yam suf. Wondrous works in the hands of Chom, awesome things by the Sea of Suf. They forgot Hashem, their deliverer, when they declared about the golden calf, "These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim." The Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. After they bowed down to the calf, they became like it. As it says, they that make them will be like them. Yes, everyone that trusts in them, hence they have eyes, but they see not, and their hearts were stopped up. The singers astonished that they forgot Hashem, their deliverer, who was all loving kindness towards them, and they also forgot the wondrous works in the land of Chum, awesome things by the Sea of Suf. The Torah emphasizes that the wonders were done in the land of Chum, a place where sorcery was prevalent. It contained 9 out of 10 parts of sorcery in the entire world. Yet the Jews beheld what were unmistakably Hashem's wondrous works, and they saw awesome things by the Sea of Suf. The latter refers to the supernal angel of the Egyptians, whom the Israelites saw dead on the sea shore. We're holding now Pasuk Chof Gimel, Pasuk 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moshe his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn back his wrath, lest he should destroy them. The singer recalls that Hashem wanted to destroy them. Thus Hashem said to Moshe, "Let me be, that I may destroy them." Pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim. He said this in order that Moshe should entreat him to relent. As indeed he did. Moshe, his chosen, stood before him in the breach and prayed to turn back his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Thus the Torah says there, and Moshe besought Hashem, his God, and said, "Hashem, why does your wrath burn against your people?" And Hashem relented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. Our sages teach when someone credits another his merit for a good thing, it is credited to his own merit. Thus Moshe said there, "Remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, your servants." And it was ascribed to his merit, as it says, "Had not Moshe, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn back his wrath, lest he should destroy them." Said Rav Bechai in the name of Rav Yudin, son of Shimon, "Compare it to a prosecuting attorney who stood there condemning the king's son. What did the defending attorney do? He pushed aside the prosecutor and stood in his place, whereupon the prosecutor departed. Similarly, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moshe, his chosen, stood before him in the breach." Shmuel, the son of Nachman, said, "Compare it to a king who was angry at his son. When he was reaching for his inkwell to sign the decree punishing his son, the defender approached and took the inkwell out of his hand." Similarly, it says here, "to turn back his wrath, lest he should destroy them." He said that he would destroy them, which appears to mean to destroy all of them. For once permission is granted for the destroyer to act, it does not distinguish between the good and the bad. That is what would have happened, had not Moshe, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. Moshe did not let the destroyer destroy them. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. They despised the desirable land. They did not believe his word. they despised the desirable land when they said, "Why has Hashem brought us to this land?" A pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. They also said, "Because Hashem hated us, He has brought us forth out of the land of Mitzrayim." Another pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. They did not believe His word when He said to them that it was a good land. Instead, they sent the spies to see whether it is good or bad. Thus Moshe also said to them, "Yet in this thing you did not believe to Hashem your God." A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Pasuk 25 now. Vayar v'yiragnu be'ohalehem lo shamu b'kol Hashem. But they murmured in their tents, they did not listen to the voice of Hashem. The singer recalls their words, "But they murmured in their tents evil things against the land of Israel, as it says there, 'And you murmured in your tents.' They did not listen to the voice of Hashem when Yeshua and Kalev said to them, speaking in the name of Hashem, 'The land is an exceedingly good land. If Hashem will delight in us, then He will bring us into this good and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey.'" Alternatively, the singer is referring to the Israelites' intention subsequently to go up to the top of the mountain without divine permission, as it says in Chumash Devarim, "But you would not hear, but rebelled against the word of Hashem. Not only did they despise the desirable land, and they did not believe His word, but they also murmured in their tents." Thus our sages explain, each of the spies moaned and groaned, wept and mourned, declaring, "Woe to me over your fate, my wife! Woe to me for my virgin daughters and my sons!" As a result, every tent of the ten spies, each one from another of the ten tribes, broke into a great lament. They did not listen to the voice of Hashem, who had said to them, "I am Hashem your God, who has brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim," as found in Chumash Shemos. Pasuk Chav Vav, Pasuk 26. Then he lifted up his hand against them in an oath to overthrow them in the wilderness. The Torah says figuratively, he lifted up his hand against them. He swore an oath, thus it says, "For I lift up my hand to heaven." The pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. Similarly, a king of flesh and blood will swear by his throne, and heaven is the throne of Hashem. What was his oath? He swore to overthrow them in the wilderness, as it says in Chumash Bamidbar. In the wilderness they will be consumed. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Lahapil zaram bagoyim zerosam barotos. And that he would cast out their seed among the nations, and they would be exiled to different kingdoms. The decree of exile was part of that oath, as indicated in Hashem's words, "Nor shall any who have provoked me see it." This pasuk is otherwise redundant, since it already says, "All those men who have seen my glory, they will not see the land which I swore to their fathers." Rather, the reference is to their offspring who will enter the land. If subsequently they will provoke Hashem's anger, they will not see it, for they will be exiled. Achachamim have taught that the decree of exile was set forth at that time. They wept for no reason, so Hashem decreed a weeping that will last for generations. Some say the Torah does not explicitly record the decree of exile, for it says there, "But truly as I live, and all the earth is filled with the glory of Hashem, until then the divine presence, the Shekhinah, Hashem's glory, was in the Beis HaMikdash." But during the exile of the Jewish people, the Shekhinah is also exiled in order to be with them. The Shekhinah is thus no longer restricted to the Holy Beis HaMikdash, but may then be found throughout all of the earth. Some perceive an allusion to the defeat suffered by the Jews at the hands of the Canaanites and at the hands of the king of Arad, who took many of them captive. The Chachamim, the sages, say, at the sin of idol worship at Or, the Jewish people condemned itself to come under the dominion of the nations, as it says, "Then he lifted up his hand against them." This is the previous pasuk that we learned. So why severe punishment? Because they joined themselves also to the Baal Peor, as we'll learn in the next pasuk. He would cast out their seed among the nations, they would be exiled to different kingdoms. Pasuk Chofes, Pasuk 28. Vayitzamdu lebaal Peor vayochlu zivchei mesim. Then they attached themselves to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. The singer now depicts the seventh iniquity of the Jews in the wilderness, when they attached themselves to the Baal Peor in Shittim, as it says in Chumash Bamidbar, and the Jews attached themselves to Baal Peor. They adhered to the idol like a covering adheres to a vessel. Ate the sacrifices of the dead. This refers to the idols which are as dead matter. As it says, they have eyes, but they see not. It also says there, and they called the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. Because they despised the desirable land and rejected sanctity, they attached themselves instead to defilements. This, in turn, brought them to eat of the sacrifices of the dead. Our sages deduce from here that a sacrifice to idol never loses its defiling status. Thus it says, then they attached themselves to the Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Just as a corpse never loses its defiling status, so an idolatrous sacrifice never loses its defiling status. Eating of the sacrifices was the cause for their subsequent folly, when they were induced to go after the Midianite women who led them astray entirely. For lust is at the core of all sin, lust for food and lust for whoring. When the Jews abandoned the living God of Israel, they brought upon themselves the divine fury for committing idolatry and for eating of the sacrifices of the dead. Our sages explain they did not actually cleave to the Baal Peor, but they defecated before the idols as a way of abusing them. But as this was the way the Baal Peor was worshipped, they were punished as if they had fully intended to worship the Baal Peor. This is indicated by the implied comparison between their attachment and a cover adhering to a vessel. That is to say, it was not actually a cleaving, as one Bryce says. It was like the loose dangling of a woman's bracelet around her arm. Nevertheless, this brought them to eat the sacrifices of the dead. It is further adduced from here that any item used in idol worship, for example, the sacrificial flesh, defiles when covered over. When the item is inside a tent, say it defiles everything in that tent, for it says, they ate the sacrifices of the dead, just as a dead body defiles in a tent, so does an idolatrous sacrificial offering defile in a tent. It is further adduced that an olive-sized item of idolatry defiles, just as an olive sized piece from a corpse defiles. Pasuk Chav Tes, Pasuk 29. Vayach Isu b'ma'alehem v'tifretz b'ma'gefen. Thus they angered him with their deeds, and their plague broke out among them. Because Israel angered him with their two deeds, idol worship and whoring, the plague broke out among them. This terrible plague felled 24,000 Jews. They angered him. They acted deliberately to anger him, which refers specifically to Zimri's deed. Following it, the plague intensified. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk 3. Vayamor Pinchas v'yipalel v'yitei'otzi ha-megefim. Then Pinchas stood up and executed judgment, and the plague was halted. There is a tradition that Pinchas stood up to pray. That's why we have the word v'yipalel, on behalf of the people, and so the plague was halted. Others explain that Yifala means that he executed judgment upon the perpetrators. Similarly, it says, and he will pay as determined by the courts. Bifli lim. Pinchas executed judgment on behalf of his maker as he arose to strike them down. Master of the world, he said, why should 24,000 from Israel perish on account of these? Although he acted without authorization from the Sanhedrin, nevertheless, the plague was halted. Although he acted illegally before his maker, the plague was halted, and his reward would last for all generations. Some explain that the Torah alludes to two specific acts by Pinchas. One was that Pinchas stood up from the midst of the congregation to perform this public act. Secondly, he acted on his own, rising to convict and punish the transgressor. He did not consult a court of law. Hence it says, Vayifalel, that is, he acted illegally, self-incrimination. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk 31. Vatechashev lo litztoka ledor vedor ad olam. And that was counted to him as the righteousness to all generations forever. What Pinchas had done to halt the plague was counted to him as a righteousness, and he merited the covenant of peace. Thus it says, "And the work of the righteousness will be peace." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. To all generations forever, as it says there, "And he shall have it, and his seed after him, the covenant of everlasting priesthood." A subtle interpretation says, "And that was counted to him as their righteousness." Just as dispensing charity anonymously removes anger, Pinchas accomplished the same thing. When Hashem's anger in Israel had become overwhelming, he subdued this anger. This condition has endured ever since then to all generations forever. Pasuk 32, Vayakzifu ame merivo vayera lemoshe vavurim. They angered him also at the waters of strife, and it went badly for Moshe because of them. Now the singer recalls the episode of the waters of strife, as it says, "Wherefore the people strove with Moshe and said, give us water that we may drink," a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. It went badly for Moshe because of them. They were to blame for what then happened to Moshe, that he was denied entry into the holy land of Israel. Some explain the pasuk indicates why Moshe would not enter the land of Israel, for at the resurrection he is to bring with him all those who died in the wilderness. Thus it says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, and it went badly for Moshe. Why? Because of them. And he is to bring with him into the land of Israel at the resurrection. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk 33. Ki himru es rucho v'yevate b'sfosav. For they embittered his spirit, and he spoke harshly with his lips. The singer explains the reason for their punishment, for they embittered his spirit, and he spoke harshly with his lips. They so embittered his spirit, and so utterly saddened him, that in his chagrin and despair he failed to properly heed Hashem's command simply to speak to the rock. He found it necessary to strike the rock twice, and this was almost a profanation of Hashem's name. For if the Jews would have failed to see the water spurt when Moshe struck the rock the first time, they would have regarded this as a limitation of Hashem's power. On their part, Moshe and Aaron taught that Hashem himself in all his glory would appear. For as he said at Rephidim, "Behold, I will stand before you upon the arid rock, and you will smite the rock, and there will come water out of it." This refers to the same desolate and arid rock located at Rephidim. Thus, the words Al Hatsur B'Horev cannot be read here upon the rock in Horev, since the episode took place in Rephidim and not in Horev. If instead water had been brought out of a rock by speaking to it, this would have been a greater sanctification of Hashem's name. Another interpretation says, "For they embittered his spirit, the spirit of Hashem, and he spoke harshly with his lips." He decreed that Moshe and Aaron would not enter the land of Eretz Israel. Others say that this refers instead to Moshe. They so embittered his spirit that he spoke rashly with his lips. He said to the rebellious Jews, "Hear now, you rebels," for which he was punished. He knew that by speaking to the rock while he was angry at the people, his words would have no effect. So he did not speak. Instead, he struck the rock. Why was he punished? For thirst is a terrible affliction, and water is not a luxury unlike meat. Their demand was therefore justified, and Moshe should not have been angry with them. The Medrash Tilton says that Moshe was punished for having uttered an oath. A man as great as Moshe should not have sworn. Pasuk Lamedale, Pasuk 34. Lo hishmidu esu amim asher omar Hashem lehem. They did not destroy the nations as Hashem commanded them. The Torah explains that Israel was punished because they did not destroy the nations as Hashem commanded them. Upon their entry into the land of Eretz Israel, they did not exterminate all the peoples living there. Instead, they let them live as tax-paying servants. As a result, idolatry was not uprooted from the land, and eventually they mingled themselves with the peoples and learn their deeds. Just as the other peoples would kill their little children by the thousands and tens of thousands for idolatry involves murder, the Jews also burned their sons and daughters. That was contrary to Hashem's will that this practice be rooted out. Pasuk 35, Vayis'orvu bagoyim vayilmedu maseihim. but they mingled themselves with the peoples and learned their deeds. Their deeds brought about the situation that they mingled themselves with the peoples and learned their deeds. By dwelling in the midst of those peoples, the Jews learned from their practices. They also sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, so they might merge with the natives into a single nation. Pasuk 36. Vayavdu esasabehem bayu lehem lemokesh, and they served their idols, which became a snare for them. Then they also came to commit idolatry, and they served their idols, which became a snare for them. Thus it says, neither will you serve their gods, for that will be a snare for you. A pasuk found in the Chumash Devarim. Some relate Mokesh to Hakesh comparison. When the Jews practiced the ways of those peoples, the nations of the world said, behold, they are like us. Others read them as referring to the nations. Because the Jews served idols, they became a snare for the other peoples. Had they held back from committing idolatry, the other peoples would have repented and sought the truth. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Pasuk 37, Vayizbuchu esbenehem esbenoseihem lasheidim. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They committed other evil, sacrificing their sons and their daughters to demons. Some explain that they are called Shadim because they rob, shoulder the men of their reason. Idolatry is superstition and nonsense. That is to say, the Jews practice the most intense worship of the most demeaning idols. Another interpretation says, they came up with an innovation in idolatry by sacrificing to demons. As it says, they sacrifice to demons, non-gods, deities they never knew who recently arrived. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Pasuk 38. Vayishbuchu dam noki dam b'neihem uvnoseihem asher zibchu latzabeh chanoam v'techana for oros v'damim. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. In addition to the sin of idolatry, they committed another two sins. For one, they shed innocent blood. Secondly, it was the blood of their sons and their daughters. Because they sacrificed their sons and daughters to the idols of Canaan, the land was polluted with blood. As it says, for blood pollutes the land. That is to say, at first the land would show them its abundant yield of wheat, but then it will refuse to provide its yield due to blight and the affliction of drought. The Torah depicts the corruption inherent in idol worship. Rather than properly relate to the idols as an abomination, the people sacrificed man's most prized possessions, their sons and daughters. They slaughtered these innocents for the sake of the idols. Murder became such a commonplace habit that while shedding the blood of their sons and daughters, they also killed others. As a result, the land was polluted with blood. Pasuk 39, Vayitnu b'maaseihem, vayiznu b'malaleihem. Thus were they defiled by their works and went astray in their deeds. Because of these depravities, they were defiled and went astray in their deeds. They transgressed the three most awful sins, idolatry, morality, and the shedding of blood. Concerning the first sin, it says, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Concerning bloodshed, it says, they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters. Concerning immorality, it says, thus were they defiled by their works and went astray in their deeds. Pasuk 40. Vayichar af Hashem ba'amo v'yisoyf es nachaloso. So was the wrath of Hashem kindled against his people, and Hashem abhorred his inheritance. Instead of delighting in the fact that Hashem had chosen them, as it says in Chumash Devarim, the Lord God has chosen you a special people to him, was the wrath of Hashem kindled against his people, and Hashem abhorred his inheritance. Yet, notwithstanding that Hashem's wrath kindled against them, they are his people, although he has abhorred his inheritance, they remain his people. Pasuk 41. Vayitnem b'yad goyim b'yim shalu v'hem son eihem. And he gave them into the hand of the nations, and they who hated them ruled over them. The Torah refers here to the days of the judges, when the people of Israel were subjugated under the rule of the nations. He gave them into the hand of the nations, and they who hated them ruled over them. It is the most terrible condition to fall into the hands of one's enemies, who then force you into slave labor. During the period between one judge and another, the Jews were given over into the hand of the nations. They were subjugated at various times by Eglon, Kushan, Rishathaim, and Sisera, the Plishtim, and the Moabites. Some say he gave them into the hand of the nations refers to the time of the exile. For exile is an atonement for sin. Pasuk 42. Vayilchotzum oyeveihem vayikonu tachas yodam. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were subdued under their hand. Now the Torah explains how the other nations ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were subdued under their hand. The Jewish people could not withstand them. In the days of Judges, too, they were vanquished and held captive, as it says in Sefer Shoftim, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian. Pasuk 43. Pa'amim rabos yatzilein behemo yamru v'atzosam v'yamoku b'avonam. Many times did he save them, but they were rebellious in their counsel and sank low through their iniquity. Although many times did he save them, they sinned again and again in their counsel. They chose to persist in their rebellious conduct. Everything is in the hand of heaven except fear of heaven, and they sank low and poor throughout their iniquity. They angered Hashem a number of times, but he was forbearing towards them and forgave their sins. They nonetheless sank low because they debased through their iniquity. Their iniquity persists. They did not repent. Pasuk 44. Vayar b'tzar lahem b'shamo esri nasam. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. When Hashem beheld their distress after they had reached the low point of their debasement, he remembered the covenant for their sake. He heard their cry. Similarly, it says about the Jews in Egypt, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. The term Rina here means a cry. Similarly, it says, Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, and there went out a cry, Harana, throughout the camp. The Torah says that Hashem helped them out of their distress immediately upon having heard their cry. He did not remove his attention from them, but attended to their trouble. What is more, he also helped them on account of their merit. He remembered for them his covenant. He remembered the good within them, not the evil. Simply the fact that they had kept the covenant of circumcision was enough to save them. The Medrash says in the name of Rebbe Elazar, Israel is not redeemed except on account of five things: due to their distress, due to the merit of their forefathers, due to prayer, due to repentance, and because the appointed end of exile had come. Due to prayer, as it says, when he heard their cry. Due to ancestral merit, as it says, and he remembered for them his covenant, which is the very next pasuk we're going to learn with Hashem. Due to repentance, as it says, and relented according to the abundance of his loving kindness. And due to the end, as it says, deliver us, O Hashem, our God, and gather us from among the peoples. As we're going to learn with Hashem, two pasukim now. Moshe encompassed all this in a single pasuk. When you are in distress, and he will find you. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Pasuk 45. Vayisko lehem beriso v'nochem kerov chasodim. And he remembered for them his covenant, and relented according to the abundance of his loving kindness. Then he remembered the covenant that he had established with them at Mount Sinai, when he promised, and yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. Hence, here ancestors does not mean the others, the patriarchs, who were already mentioned earlier. It refers to their forefathers who came out of Mitzrayim. He relented of the evil they did on account of the abundance of his loving kindness. Pasuk 46. Vayitein osam lerachem mipnei kol shoveihem. He caused them to be pitied by all their captors. Even after it was decreed that they be exiled, he caused them to be pitied by all their captors. This indicates that the Jewish people in exile were preserved in the merit of our forefather Yaakov. Thus Yaakov said to his sons that upon their departure from Egypt, Hashem Almighty give you mercy. Pasuk 47, Hosheini Hashem Lakenu, Vekapsenu Menagorim, the Hodos Hashem, Kachechel, Ishtabeth, Bezilo Secha. Please turn tape over to side B, and if you're listening to a CD, please...